it's good that we are coming together to worship, and I was going to say we're going to continue looking through Romans. And so just before we start worship, our call to worship this morning is based on some of our verses from the Message. We're gathered together in the presence of God to offer our praise and our prayers. We come before God with confidence, knowing that even when we can't find the words, God's own Spirit is right here with us, praying in us and for us, giving shape to our wordless hopes and longings, and pleading for us before the throne of grace. So let's come with joy to offer our worship to God who knows and loves us all. Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we come to you this morning and we just come with thanks and praise on our lips as we worship you in song and prayer and word. Lord, we thank you that all our hope on you is founded. Lord, that we can put our trust in you. You are our gracious and everlasting God. And we just come this morning with that thought on our minds, Lord, that nothing that we can do can stop you from wanting to love us even more each day. Lord, we thank you that you remind us daily with each new day of who we are in you. We thank you for your word, Lord, that just reminds us, just prompts us to come and to give our praise and thanks as we celebrate our freedom in you. We praise you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit living in each believer, giving us life, even when sometimes, Lord, we are so exhausted. Lord, we thank you and praise you again that we can come and call you Father, that we are adopted, Lord, into your family, that we have the inheritance that you promise us to look forward to, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit prays alongside us. Lord, as we come this morning, we pause with so many things perhaps going on in our own lives, not just affecting us personally, Lord, but for the community around us, for the world around us. Lord, we know through your word that you tell us that the world is full of deceit and lies. Lord, may we only ever listen to your word, to the words that you put into our hearts. May we be faithful in all that we do for you. May we speak the words of love that you give us to speak. Lord, your word says that you search us and you know us. And so we pray, Lord, that when we're distracted or unwell or just can't find ways to pray, Lord, that we would just call on you more. Lord, we have that intimate relationship with you through your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we never lose hope. In those days, Lord, when we just sigh with words too deep, that your Spirit is active in us. Lord, we thank you and give you all the thanks and praise that as we take time to pause, Lord, in our busy lives, in the schedules that perhaps we create for ourselves, that Lord, in that silence, in that peace, we get that sense of your deep abiding love for each one of us. Lord, I pray that as we have just been talking at the start of the service, as we start to look forward perhaps to having a time away, Lord, in the summer that we have, whether that be home or abroad, Lord, that we would just enjoy the rest and refreshment that you give each one of us. Lord, we rest in the knowledge of the wonderful things that you have done for us. We rest in the knowledge, Lord, that you have control of everything. Lord, as we pray, we not only pray for ourselves, but we pray for our world. Lord, as we were sharing last week, sometimes when we hear the news, and Lord, some say it's normally bad news, sometimes all we can do is just groan. Lord, we do pray for our world at the moment. We pray for the COVID pandemic, Lord, that seems to be coming back into many countries, Lord. We pray for the fear and the uncertainty that that's causing. We pray for those, Lord, who are seeking to find a vaccine, that the trials, Lord, that are going ahead would be successful. Pray for those people, Lord, that are called to serve, to in our medical profession, Lord, and all the other essential workers, Lord, that you would be with them in all that they're doing. Lord, in some ways, in the last few weeks, we may have thought that it was all over, but Lord, we realise that it's still there. Lord, this week we've been asked to wear masks to protect not only ourselves, but one another. Lord, I just pray for those that have decided that that's not what they want to do. That if they won't do it for themselves, Lord, that they will do it in humility for those of us around them. Lord, we pray for our own town, our own community. We pray for those, Lord, whose jobs may have changed or that they may have lost their jobs. We pray for the homeless and for those who are seeking to help them. Lord, we pray for our own church family and for those, Lord, who are suffering through ill health. That they are struggling with their health, Lord. We just pray that you would draw close to them during this time. Lord, we remember that we are not on our own. Lord, as we take that deep breath, as we inhale, Lord, your Holy Spirit is there within us. We can face each day because you are with us. We thank you, Lord, for every moment of each day. We thank you for the help that you give us, that you continue to give us, that you want to give us. Lord, we come this morning with that assurance that nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, whatever your purpose is for each one of us, Lord, may you make it clear to us. Help us to trust you, to be patient in our waiting, and for the ability, Lord, to persevere and to seek you in all things. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of last week. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us through this coming week in all that we will do for you. Lord, help us to continue worshipping together in whatever way possible. We thank you, Lord, that you have made this way possible. Bless us now, Lord. I pray in your almighty name. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so I'll ask Clive if he will give us our reading from this morning, which is from Romans chapter 8. Verses 26 to 39 is the continuation from last week. Thank you, Clive.
Morning. As Sharon said, this morning is Romans chapter 8, verses 12, 26 to 39. And I'm reading from the New International Version. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So as we think about those words, I'll give you a picture to share, as I often do, and you just sort that out. I think it's a lovely picture, and it's one that, as I sort of looked at it, I thought, oh, I'm going to have a go at that. That's not just to say that you play with your hands during the sermon, but it's something that, you know, if ever we want to remember just how much God loves us, then we can see it in there. So God is for me, and that's not just me, that's for each one of us. God is for me. Do you believe that? As we have shared this amazing chapter of Romans over the last 2 weeks, have you pondered what it means to your daily living? Last week, Paul had explained that the person who has embraced Christ, trusted in his death for their sin, becomes a member of the family of God. Having been adopted by him, we become his children, heirs and co-heirs with Christ, with direct and free access to address God as Abba, Father. This spirit from God is not a spirit of slavery. God did not save us simply to force us to do his bidding. Instead, as the Spirit is a spirit of adoption. I'll just pause a second while we take that in. We are adopted. We are children of God. We are his family. We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. You can see why I love this particular chapter of Romans. Paul begins and ends this chapter with statements about the absolute security of those who are in Christ. First, there is no condemnation at all for those in Christ. lastly, in verse 39, nothing will ever be able to separate us from God's love for us in Christ. By this, he refers to those who have been saved by their faith in Jesus. As Scripture makes clear, the promise of salvation is only given to those who believe in Christ. For those who come to faith, their salvation is absolutely secure. All the way through John's Gospel, he reiterates that same point. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that hardships may test our faith and strengthen it, but they never imply that God has abandoned his children, ever. We sometimes forget that we are called to suffer with Christ in order that we may be glorified with him, as we learned last week. Scripture tells us that we need to carry the cross daily and count the cost of following him. Do you sometimes struggle to believe that God really loves you? As you look at the sea of faces in front of you, do you think, oh, they obviously, God loves them much more than me. They're much more holy than I am. I think sometimes we can all be tempted to feel a sense of failure and self-condemnation at times, especially when we compare ourselves to others, which we are told not to do. God loves his children equally. The love of God starts with no condemnation and ends with no separation. John Stott describes this truth of the passage as a pillow on which to rest our weary heads. It's fantastic, isn't it? A pillow on which to rest our weary heads. St. Augustine wrote, God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us to love. It's amazing to think that if we were the only person who had ever lived, Jesus would still have died for us. Often our circumstances cause us to question God's love for us, don't they? We're human. Last week I said that Paul suffered greatly through beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, and many other hardships. But he says in this message that these sufferings cannot come close to comparing to the glory that we will see one day. He says there's no comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. While we are waiting, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a down payment guaranteeing what is to come, the future glory. Here and now, there may be groaning. The Greek term used here for the word groaning has the sense of narrow or squeezing. Suffering so constricts that we feel our life being squeezed out of us. Words fail and all we can utter comes from deep within us and out as involuntary groaning and sighs. Be confident though, this groan does not go unheard by God, and we are joined by the Trinity in our groaning. As we get tired of waiting, and we do, God's Spirit comes alongside us and helps us. In verse 26 in the message, it says, if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He enables us to pray in accordance with God's will and purposes. If our prayers are led by the Spirit, they will be answered, because they will be in accordance with our Father's will and purpose. There are times when I'm unable to connect and express my heart when I pray to my Heavenly Father. And I know I'm not alone in that. Many of us struggle sometimes with prayer. We become weary with all that is happening around us, and our minds are so exhausted that even the simplest of tasks seem beyond our strength. When we settle down to pray, our thoughts begin to wander. Does that sound familiar? But as with all other human needs, our Creator knew this was happening and made allowances and arrangements. They've already been made for this event. He gave us the prayer of His Holy Spirit for when we can't pray, and the prayer of others on our behalf. That's why it's so important. It's that we have the Holy Spirit and each other making intercession for us. How reassuring and comforting that is, that God never leaves the voices of His children unheard. While we wait, we can also be absolutely sure our God is for us. He is working out every circumstance for our ultimate good. He chose us before we ever knew Him, and destined us to be called, to be justified and glorified. Life is not as crazy as it may sometimes appear to be. Verse 28 says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In every detail of our lives, God is at work. All things, includes even our mistakes, of which I know I have made many. How reassuring that God takes them and works them out for our good. Christ died for us because God loved us. The cross demonstrates that just as God took the very worst event in history and turned it into the very best, He can take the worst things in our lives and use them for good. This promise applies to all believers as He expands in verses 29 to 30. We are foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and we will be glorified, for our eternal future is secured. This security for a believer is firmly grounded on the unwavering love of God. How can we be sure of God's love? And this is where Paul begins a new list. And I think if you read it and you read it again later, this covers virtually everything anyone might think of to challenge God's love for His chosen people. He provides five rhetorical questions from verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? We realize if God is for us, what others think is not so important. We are set free from the fear of people and from caring too much about what others think, as we are prone to do. Secondly, he says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Here we have the heart of the gospel. Over 40 times in the New Testament, we read for us. And it wants to give us everything He has to offer as free gifts of grace. Thirdly, he says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who dares? And then we read, it is God who justifies. Who then can condemn? Jesus intercedes for us. Christ died for us. The sentence has already been served for us. In the message, it says, the one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. What a reassurance that is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In the message, it says, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. We can be separated from family and friends for many different reasons and circumstances. But that doesn't mean that life is easy. We read, there may be trouble, hard times, hatred, hunger, homelessness, bullying, threats, backstabbing. But not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. In the midst of every difficulty, we can hold on, grasp God's love for us. Paul lists umpteen possibilities, which includes absolutely every possible difficulty and challenge we may face. He continues his list with the present and the future. Nothing that could happen now or tomorrow or in 1,000 years from now could change God's commitment to love us in Christ. And he concludes that he is totally convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch believer imprisoned in Auschwitz for aiding the Jews during the Second World War, was once asked what was the main lesson she learned in the death camp. Immediately she responded, that God's love still stands when all else has fallen. That God's love still stands when all else has fallen. When life seems in flux, as it does even now, may we hold on tightly to the hope and reassurance contained within this chapter and go forward with an even greater love for our God as he gives us cause to. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how can I ever thank you enough for your amazing love for each one of us? Thank you for the gift of your Spirit and the privilege of prayer. Help us to lean on your Spirit in moments when we don't know how to pray. Thank you that in all things you are working together for the good in our lives. And absolutely nothing can separate us from your love. Amen.